Hello, I'm the Vegan Guy, and this is the Vegan Gaia Show, the program that brings you a vision of humans living in health and harmony on our living planet, on our Mother Earth, also known to some as Gaia. Gaia is the name of the entire living Earth as a complete system. Gaia includes the life, the soils, the oceans, the atmosphere, the lightning, the waves, the mountains, the rivers, everything here on Earth. Gaia is the name of the entire planet as a unified, living entity. Of course, there are outside influences, like the sun and the moon, but our interest in this show is how we human beings affect and interact with Gaia. Specifically, one of the most fundamental actions we make depends on our choice of food. What we choose to eat has a profound impact on Gaia and ourselves. You can choose to eat healthy, nourishing foods that are free of cruelty and pain and suffering. Foods that don't wreck the environment. Today, there's general agreement among scientists and doctors that animal flesh is not required for complete human nutrition. It's possible to choose the kind and peaceful path of the vegan diet, the pure vegetarian diet. We can choose to live in a vegan Gaia.
To be broken, I didn't ask you to stroke my hair or treat me like a worthless token. But my skin is thick and my mind is strong. I am built like my father was. I've done nothing wrong. So free. Just wanna feel what life should be. I just want enough space to turn around and face the truth. So free me. When are you gonna realize you're just wrong? You can't even think for yourself. Can't even make up your minds. So my mind's a jail. I hate the whole goddamn human race. What the hell do you want from me? Kill me if you just don't know. Or free me. I just wanna feel what life should be. Just want enough space to turn around, 'cause you're all fucked. And someday maybe you'll treat me like you.
That was Goldfinger singing Free Me. He's talking for the animals, some of whom can't even turn around in their stalls. During this show, I'll go into a general theoretical overview of the vegan lifestyle and discuss a few of the more pressing reasons to consider making the change if you currently eat animals. There won't be enough time during this show to even list all of the reasons to be a vegan, much less go into any detail on all of them, but I hope you will come away with at least a peek of a fresh, healthy new perspective, and that you will be encouraged to seek more information on your own. Let's start with a quick look at ourselves. We don't have claws or fangs or legs to run down prey. Humans obviously didn't evolve as carnivores. We can't bite through tough hides. Go ahead, prove it to yourself. Try chasing a rabbit sometime. But keep in mind that you may look like a complete idiot. Also keep in mind that control of fire, that spears, bows, and arrows and other weapons are all relatively recent inventions as far as the long evolution of our species is concerned. An often quoted vegan allegory involves a 2-year-old toddler, a rabbit, and an apple. The toddler is placed in a crib with the rabbit and the apple for a while. The vegan teacher offers to give away their entire fortune if the toddler eats the rabbit and plays with the apple. I think it's a safe bet to assume that the rabbit will be just fine. We are not natural carnivores. It's an acquired taste, often learned with some resistance. Bacteria are everywhere. When an animal is killed or dies, a rapid rotting process begins. Dead flesh putrefies and soon gives off distinctive odors that we instinctively find repulsive. The repulsion is a natural defense mechanism. After all, if we eat rotten meat with too much bacterial growth, it will make us horribly ill, or even kill us. The Center for Disease Control, Division of Bacterial and Meiotic Diseases, reports, foodborne infections are, quote, estimated to cause 76 million illnesses, 325,000 hospitalizations, and 5,200 deaths in the United States each year, unquote. I guess it's hardly necessary for me to mention that nearly 100% of these are either from directly eating rotting flesh, or indirectly by pathogenic organisms transferred from rotting flesh onto something like a salad or onto a plate or even a fork, picked up from rotting flesh. Something, say, like the dead rotting carcass of a chicken. Other less frequent causes include people who process food, who are sick, or who don't keep their hands clean. Animal manure can also contaminate fresh fruits and vegetables. However, whole, uncut, or bruised fruits and vegetables don't support the growth of pathogenic organisms under normal aerobic circumstances. But they can be passive carriers, tainted by rotting meat, especially on their cut surfaces. That all went by kind of fast. Let's see, what were those figures again? Let me see, 76 million illnesses, 325,000 hospitalizations, and 5,200 deaths every year from foodborne disease in this country. Every year, 5,200 dead. Where the hell is the outrage? Where are the news stories? Why do we take this for granted and ignore it? The corporate-controlled media doesn't seem to consider 325,000 expensive hospitalizations or a mere 5,200 deaths to be of much significance. Well, unless, of course, it's death by dramatic terrorist attack that can ignite a military corporate industrial complex profit grab from the tax rolls. You know, a plain old expensive bloody war. You'll hear why I mention war in this discussion about diet a little bit later on in this show. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, I guess only 5,200 human deaths every year, mainly from eating animals, just isn't newsworthy in the USA. It seems our national pride isn't hurt one little bit when we're killed by a bunch of putrid, dead animals. But what if putrid dead chickens learned how to fly into buildings?
Hi, this is Bill Maher, Politically Incorrect. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510. Thank you.
Oh, well. All right, let's go back to a comparison of our bodies with that of natural carnivores. Real carnivores have acid saliva to quickly stop the bacterial putrefaction of dead meat. Ours is alkaline, because we evolved that way to neutralize acid fruits. Our teeth and jaws are not designed to slice through flesh, but to grind plants, seeds, and nuts. Carnivores also have very strong stomach acid. In cats, it is 20 times more concentrated than ours. Carnivores have smooth intestines to quickly evacuate the flesh they eat before it toxifies them. Our intestines are folded and have much larger surface areas to slowly absorb plant nutrients. One of the most common deadly problems today is colon cancer, and typically it is the long-term meat eater who suffers from it. For a human being, eating flesh is like putting coal tar into a jet engine. It just isn't the right fuel. People get sick from eating meat, even when it isn't full of pathogenic bacteria. So we know it isn't the right fuel. The American Cancer Society has been warning people for years, quietly, not to eat flesh. So has the American Medical Association, quietly, of course. So why are we still doing it? Well, never underestimate the power of a bad habit. Of course, the animal flesh vendors, the huge corporate factory farming industry, keep spending millions of dollars on propaganda, on commercials, to keep you convinced that eating dead meat is good for you, even if it makes you feel bad. Just consider all the billions spent on over-the-counter and prescription digestion remedies. Commercials for these products are everywhere. Think about how you feel after eating a heavy meat meal on a hot day. A bit sluggish and tired, perhaps? Meat is so difficult for human beings to get through their systems that it can take days to pass all the way through. Vegans typically pass everything they eat within 24 hours. The long retention time of meat also allows more toxins to get into the body tissues. Poor digestion is not a normal thing for any animal, including us. It is an indicator that something is very wrong with what you are eating. But instead of changing our diets, we just take pills and elixirs, happily sold to us by huge corporate interests. The animal parts vendors have spent millions on politicians and lobbyists who write laws that promote factory farming, where billions of innocent animals are kept under torturous conditions and then slaughtered to be placed on the dinner plates of human beings. Slaughtered for meals that make people sick. The main source of nutritional education in our public school systems is heavily subsidized by the dairy industry, and has been for at least three generations. Large diet corporations like Atkins tell people what they want to hear, what they are conditioned to hear, even if it's unhealthy. It has been very profitable to turn fields of grain into animal flesh, at the expense of our health, the environment, and, of course, the animals. We have become so used to all this that we are numb to the stark reality of well-dressed human beings sitting down in elegant surroundings to chew on the flesh of dead animals. Try to step back for a moment and take in that scene. We like to think of ourselves as civilized, respectable people, people who are sensitive and caring, who don't cause pain and suffering. Now look at what is on their dinner plates. The dead flesh of an animal that only wanted to live out its life unharassed. But here's the good news. Taste and style is an acquired thing, and it can change. There is no need to eat flesh. In fact, human beings are much healthier without it, and it sure seems a lot less primitive and a whole lot more civilized.
I'm a steer, and they're steering you wrong. Listen now.
I'm a cow.
'Cause I don't have long. Our
sweet backside
would like to stay together. We don't want to be your leather.
Won't you show me some love? Don't you make me kid glove.
Or a jacket or a shoe, 'cause my skin ain't for you.
Do I make myself clear? Keep your hands off my rear.
The dairy industry won't tell you that milk is allowed, is government approved, to contain pus from infected udders, or that it causes allergic reactions, or that the calcium in it is washed out of the body by the excessive levels of protein it contains, resulting in more osteoporosis in milk drinkers than in those who abstain. Natural cows get the calcium for their milk from the green plants they eat, and we should also. Cow milk is peculiar to cows. They put on weight fast. Elephant milk is for elephants. Human milk is for humans. But somehow, it would just seem wrong for a 15-year-old to walk up to his mom and suckle, especially in public. There is a time for infants to drink milk, and a time for them to be weaned. Somehow, in this culture, we started acting like a bunch of spoiled brat, milk-burping infants, even well past the age of 15. The monster corporation Monsanto has lobbied hard so that milk from cows that have been shot up with their bovine growth hormone drug does not have to have labels warning you about it. Yet in Europe, such tainted products are banned from human consumption. Monsanto also doesn't want you to know that the main reason they are pushing genetically modified organisms is that they can sell seeds that are immune to their poisonous herbicides. Again, banned in Europe. By the way, the government that continues to approve pus in milk is the same government that gave you the war in Iraq on the basis of assuredly finding big piles of weapons of mass destruction, because Cheney personally knew for a fact that they were absolutely, probably, north and south and east and sort of west of, well, Baghdad, the same government that also approves depleted uranium munition waste as perfectly safe for the guaranteed happy babies of the new democratic Iraq as rebuilt by Halliburton with your tax dollars. Well, all I can say is trust them at your own risk. Who knows? Maybe you'll like the taste of cow milk with a squirt of pus.
about the stuff you stuff in your mouth. Is it alive? Is it dead? Is it rotten? Do you ever think about the murder performed in your name? Don't tell me you're not to blame. Someone else did the kill, but it's for you they're killing. So you can eat your share of meat. Think twice. Don't eat your friends. It ain't nice. Love, or just a little kindness for another, some other creature. We all share Mother Earth, so he's your brother, your friend. Maybe he depends on you, so why eat your friend? You'll only suffer for it in the end. Hey, think twice. Don't eat your friends. It ain't nice. Have an equal right to live. Just cause they don't put up much of a fight, you say might makes right. Just put them to death, but out of sight, then out of mind. Are you out of your mind? Whatever happened to humankindness? Think twice. Don't eat your friends. It ain't nice. Have a good look at what you eat. Someone's backside, someone's feet. That's what we call meat. It ain't fit to eat. But sooner or later you're gonna reap whatever you sow. Even if you didn't know, the cancer will still grow. And you'll be out in the snow in your next life. Just a little cap, taken to the works and sliced in half. Cause that's your karma. Born in a killer, butcher and farmer.
The cattle industry doesn't want you to know that enormously expensive water projects, paid for with your tax dollars, subsidize their profits. They don't want you to know that it takes 20 times as much land to feed somebody on a flesh-based diet compared to someone on a vegan diet, or that a lot of that land is thousands of square miles of theoretically public federal land that's been held in cheap 20-year private leases with grandfathered renewal clauses for generations. And don't get me going on water rights. All I can say now is that domestic cattle are big, grotesque land roaches that destroy natural habitat, driving native species to extinction. Cattle are riparian. That is, they originate from river basins and boggy areas, and they don't belong in the arid West. The factory farming corporations don't want you to know or think about the fact that as the rich people of this world demand grain-fed animal flesh, it drives up the world prices for grain, drives grain prices up so high that the poor people of this world can't afford to buy it. The factory farming corporations don't want you to think about the 4,000 people who finally die after indescribable suffering of starvation every single hour of every single day, most of whom are small, innocent, defenseless children. 4,000 human beings with eyes and a consciousness just like yours dying of starvation every hour because they can't compete for grain. They die on moody, rainy days, and on beautiful, sunny days, too. Days just like today. Every day, about 100,000 human beings finally die after slowly, helplessly watching themselves starve to death. Not 3,000 dead in one unique tragedy, but the continuing saga of 100,000 human beings dying every single day, day after day, year upon year, of starvation. Where is the outrage? Where is the national pride? Or is mass human starvation so normal that we hardly think about it or notice it? When we are shown starving people on corporate-controlled media, they are usually, typically, brown people. most folks in this neck of the woods hardly care. Is it conceivable that there is a racist element in this equation? Would we care more as a society if the starving children were blue-eyed blondes? Then would we do whatever it took to save them? Then would we be willing to change our eating habits? Every day, starving human beings reach out for help, for just a little food, but die because they can't afford food, and no one offers them any. Is it even possible for most Westerners, most Americans, to begin to imagine the pain of starvation? When was the last time most Americans felt true hunger at all? Oh, cravings, yeah. Endless appetites for flesh to expand their already bloated bodies. In Georgia, under the waving flag of the USA, nearly one of every 10 deaths is caused simply by obesity. We eat too much flesh, and by doing so, we cause others to starve to death. But when everyone is responsible, well, no one is held accountable.
Millions of people all over the world go hungry while we waste our land and water resources. Did you know that raising animals for human consumption uses 8 times as much water as growing fruits, vegetables, and grains? And that the same amount of land can produce 17 times more soybean protein than meat protein? If you care about animals, good health, and the earth, please consider becoming a vegetarian. The lives you save may include your own. For free, tasty vegetarian recipes and a DVD, call PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, at 1-888-VEG-FOOD. That's 1-888-VEG-FOOD. Visit online at goveg.com. That's goveg.com. This message has been sponsored by PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Thank you.
While the connection may not be immediately obvious, consumption of animal products is a major factor in worldwide starvation. We drive up the price of grain by feeding it to animals who use 90% of the caloric content in it to maintain themselves. Most of the food energy is lost as metabolic heat. Only a small percentage of all the original calories in the grain animals eat during their lifetimes is left in the final meat product. Demand for flesh, through the grain animals consume, causes the starvation of poor human beings. Raising animals wastes grain that could be fed directly to people and raises the price of grain beyond what poor people can afford. So, babies starve. Around the world, animal consumption is increasing. This amplifies the demand for grain, raising prices, while the affluent are hardly affected by rising food prices. Poor people are hit hard. For every 6 people on planet Earth, one of them isn't getting enough to eat. That's 1 billion hungry people, because they cannot afford to buy enough food. The poor cannot compete on the world grain market with the purchasing power of the animal parts vendors, who are responding to the demand for flesh by their affluent customers. Customers who have been brainwashed by the animal parts vending corporations. The average American eats nearly twice their weight in killed animals every year. A warped model of affluence, a sick lifestyle that is mimicked worldwide. Some think that the answer will come from science, that we will simply find a way to grow more food. The sad truth is that when the lands and waters of the earth reach and pass their natural production limits, using technology to force the extraction of higher yields results in declining future productivity. Even using every profitable scheme in the technological bag of tricks, yields have not been rising fast enough to compensate for the additional people added to the worldwide population each year. Soils are depleted by real-world chemical farming practices. Organic matter in the soil, that is the living glue that holds it all in place, is destroyed by chemical fertilization. And then erosion removes soil faster than it is created. In general, factory farming is taking place on mostly dead soil through artificial injections of chemicals. Chemicals that are largely derived through finite and rapidly declining fossil oil. Every pound of U.S. high-tech animal product fed to a human being costs 5 pounds of permanent soil erosion. It can take hundreds of years for nature to produce paper-thin layers of soil from bedrock, and much of the process depends on the presence of organic matter in the top layers. A hamburger produced in Costa Rica costs 55 square feet of rainforest, releasing as much carbon dioxide as an average American car over a 20-day period. That's 20 days worth of driving to release the same amount of carbon dioxide as one hamburger. And when the forest is gone, it can't absorb carbon dioxide. A double-decker whammy real dead burger. We are demolishing the rainforests to grow hamburgers. It has recently been reported that the Brazilian rainforest has now lost more than a fifth of its area to cattle grazing and soybean cattle fodder. In these huge areas, all the great primordial biodiversity is gone. Nothing but soy and cattle for as far as the eye can see. Due to the reduction of species and industrialization, the region is now a net producer of carbon dioxide instead of a net absorber. As you know, carbon dioxide is the major vector of human-induced global warming. By demanding flesh burgers, we are upsetting the balance of the Earth's climate. Our lives and the lives of millions of species all over the planet depend on a stable climate. Right now, we are causing the sixth great planetary extinction, to a large extent through our choice of foods. Producing just 1 pound of pork costs the energy in 2 quarts of gasoline. Processing, packaging, transporting, storing, and cooking costs the energy in an additional gallon of gasoline. 1 pound of pork, 1.5 gallons of gas. The energy required to produce pork flesh calories is more than 15 times as much as the same number of calories of fresh fruits and vegetables, and you get a whole lot less fat in the veggies, and none of it is unhealthy, saturated fat.
Animals need friends. For a list of 10 easy things you can do to brighten up their lives, please write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's PETA, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510. Thank you.
It takes 190 gallons of fresh water per person per day to feed Americans meat, about twice the normal household usage for all other purposes. Much of that is fossil water, pumped out of underground aquifers. Worldwide, fresh water systems are in serious decline. Lakes are low and disappearing. Ancient underground aquifers are being depleted to grow meat for dinner plates. In the Arabian Peninsula, North Africa, Northern China, Northwest India, and the Great Plains of the United States, water from ancient aquifers is being drawn out faster than it is being replaced by rain. Inevitable cutbacks of irrigated area started several years ago, and the decline is accelerating. When nations like China import grain grown with fossil water, they are also importing the result of that unique fresh water that was used to grow it. The ancient water eventually drains to the sea, with chemical farming pollution carried along every inch of the way. We are short-circuiting, accelerating natural processes beyond the natural refresh rate. To have more today while we ignore and deny the needs of tomorrow. The dead meat culture doesn't believe in tomorrow. Livestock agriculture is accountable for 40% of the nitrogen and 35% of the phosphorus released into American streams, rivers, and lakes. Several years ago, under a much more environmentally friendly administration, the EPA estimated that 1/5 of the water wells in cattle-producing areas had nitrate levels exceeding safety standards. It is highly likely that the problem has gotten worse under the current administration. It has been known for many years that this form of pollution can cause serious illness and even death, particularly to babies and young children. Apparently, our hunger for flesh supersedes this little problem. Four-legged critters aren't the only kind of flesh people demand. The UN has discovered that every major ocean fishery on the planet is in decline. Fish farming operations are another diversion for grain. Fish farms are catastrophic sources of pollution and are often built in areas that were natural estuaries. They replace, they destroy estuaries, which are the spawning areas of natural fish populations. Shrimp farming operations in Southeast Asia are notorious violators of ecological sustainability, and a lot of their output is exported to affluent countries.
Hey, I'm Fred of the B-52s. I've always sung the praises of lobsters, and it really burns my butt when people drop them in a pot of boiling water. So take off those bibs and skip the lobster festival. Go to the beach instead. The sand is crawling with bright red, slow-moving creatures to enjoy. They're called sunburned tourists. For more on lobsters, visit PETAonline.org. Thanks.
Consumption of animal products is causing worldwide environmental degradation. Soil erosion, rainforest destruction, oceanic dead zones, global warming, mass extinction. The demand for flesh is destroying the ecological balance of our planet, our great Mother Earth. Unlimited economic expansion, or even stability, is impossible if the ecosystem upon which that economy depends is declining. Demand for food is outpacing supply, especially since so much of it is being converted into flesh, which wastes 90% of the food value. Grain prices keep rising in real terms, and the life-taking effects ripple into new populations as their local economies decline and international factory farming corporations take over land and resources, causing unemployment and higher prices. When people are unable to feed their families, they tend to get a little angry. And political instability and war and terrorism can result, even in America. Our most advanced technologies cannot enable us to grow enough food to prevent the horror of human starvation, so long as carnage, the demand for animal flesh, remains. The world's poor cannot compete with the bloodlust that consumes 36% of the world's grain supplies. The bloodlust that raises grain prices beyond the means of the poor, directly causing the misery of human starvation. A vegan diet, totally free of animal products, is the healthy, compassionate, rational choice. Not only will you alleviate suffering, your own and that of others, and enable the restoration and sustainability of the web of life, but you can expect a bonus: increased vitality and longevity. The healthy path for the individual is also the healthy path for humanity.
Hi, I'm Mike Farrell. We hear a lot about youth violence today, what's causing it, how to stop it. We now know that people who do violence to others often begin by abusing animals. Animal cruelty is serious business with serious consequences for all of us. If you see an adult or a child hurting an animal, please report it to the proper authorities immediately. A child who abuses an animal is often himself abused, and the cycle must stop. For more information, contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
I speculate that since eating meat causes physical illness, that it also causes mental illness, since the mind and the body are one. I speculate that the bloodlust addiction is a form of mental illness, that a society that eats flesh is a sick society. To eat flesh requires a certain amount of denial. Denial of the life and denial of the awareness of the being that is killed and chewed. A hardening of, a reduction of human awareness and sensitivity. A callousness, an arrogance, a disrespect for sentient life. When we can so blithely ignore destroying sentient beings, ignore the pain and suffering it entails, it is a small jump to ignore the suffering of other beings, human beings. Killing becomes acceptable somehow. Killing becomes normal, even respectable. Glamorous restaurants with leather and fur-wearing patrons slicing into and chewing on the bloody flesh of animals becomes normal. Keeping billions of animals trapped in torturous conditions becomes normal, somehow acceptable, taken for granted, ignored. Aggression becomes normal. War becomes normal, ignored, normal and common, but still a form of mental illness. Surely healthy beings prefer peace. Healthy beings prefer compassion to sadistic compliance with suffering. Healthy beings don't think causing pain is a good thing. Healthy beings prefer healthy food. Unbalanced beings relish killing and war and junk food. Unhealthy beings allow themselves the delusion of somehow feeling superior to the rest of life around them. Unwilling to accept, to realize the reality that they are only part of all that life and totally dependent upon it. Unhealthy beings destroy their own world, their own planet, their own Mother Earth. They are sick, and the cure is a healthy vegan diet.
If you care about animals, good health, and the earth, please consider becoming a vegetarian. The lives you save may include your own. For free vegetarian recipes, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Peter, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510. Thank you.
All right, I've done enough ranting for one show. Over time, I found that the most practical doorway to better eating is by simply preparing new meals that don't have animal products. And recipes are the key. One of my favorite quick ideas is something called a smoothie. You need a blender to make it. The blender should be clean and dry. Now, put into the dry blender, just up to the top of the blades, either shelled sunflower seeds or almonds or unsalted cashews or some other sweet nut or seed. Now, blend it up at high speed, then stir it up with a wooden chopstick, and then blend it again, and then stir it again. Keep blending and stirring until you have a fine powder. After the final blend, there will be a little valley in the center. Into that, you can put 1 or 2 tablespoons of spirulina or chlorella. It's optional. If you don't have spirulina or chlorella, or even know what it is, don't worry, I'm going to get back to that in a moment. Okay, so you have your fine powder mixture of your ground-up nuts, actually nuts ground to a fine flour. Now, add a teaspoon of vanilla, 1 or 2 peeled, of course, fresh or frozen bananas, and then add, say 12 ounces or so of orange or pear or some other fruit juice. Blend it all up at high speed, and you have just made a smoothie. Quick, packed with nutrients and enzymes, and ready to pour on cereal or granola, or just drink it right down. Again, start with a clean, dry blender. Put in nuts or seeds just to the top of the blades. Blend them up, stir them up with a chopstick, blend them again, stir them again, back and forth, until you get a nice, fine powder of the nuts or the seeds. Then throw in a little bit of vanilla, throw in some spirulina or chlorella, then put in fruit juice. Blend it up and it's ready to go. All right, let's just go back to that spirulina and chlorella stuff, and just in case you don't know what I'm talking about. Let's see, spirulina is spelled S-P-I-R-U-L-I-N-A, and chlorella is spelled C-H-L-O-R-E-L-L-A, chlorella. Now, both of these are very thin-walled, single-cell plants that grow in water. Due to their thin cell walls, they go into the bloodstream fast, and they give you a real quick boost of the stuff your body needs. Both are loaded with protein, with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes. Both will store in a closed, light-proof container on the shelf for years. They come as fine powders or as tablets. Get them and use them. Your body will thank you. One extra little side note. The manna mentioned in the Old Testament, you know, the Bible, the original Bible. I'm not going to get religious on you. Don't worry about it. But it's an interesting side note. That manna that they spoke about was spirulina that was naturally dried and bleached to a white cake by the sun. It grows, among other places, in ponds formed by flash rainstorms in deserts in many places around the world. It grows in other places, too. You will buy it dried but unbleached. It will be green or bluish green. it has more nutrients than being bleached by the sun. Now, I just mentioned enzymes a few times. They are extremely important in any diet, but many people don't get enough enzymes because enzymes are destroyed by temperatures over 118 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, that isn't very hot. I mean, a hot tub is usually, about 102 degrees Fahrenheit? So, in other words, any form of cooking destroys enzymes. I mean, they get ruined at 118 degrees Fahrenheit. That's just like hot water, barely hot water. I mean, now the enzymes are only available in uncooked foods, mainly fresh fruits and vegetables. Fresh seed sprouts are also really high in enzymes. Chlorella and spirulina are unique gifts of nature because if they're dried carefully, they can retain their enzymes for a long time. Okay, so what the heck good are enzymes anyway? Well, all right, a lot of the biochemical reactions inside your body normally wouldn't be able to take place except at very high temperatures, well above normal body temperatures. In chemistry, substances that help reactions along but are not used in the reactions themselves are known as catalysts. Enzymes are organic catalysts. They enable biochemical reactions to occur at body temperature. Digesting and metabolizing food, for example. Or just using your muscles. I mean, almost every reaction in the body depends on enzymes. They are an absolute necessity, in fact, in every cell in your body. When you don't get enough of them, your body just can't operate at optimum efficiency. Babies and very young children don't have much internal capacity to build their own enzymes, and older people increasingly lose their capacity to make them. At the peak, say, in the late 20s, age-wise, human beings may be able to create as much as, 50% of the enzymes their body needs. Now the rest must come from the foods they eat, or they will be deficient. Overall, this was a very good strategy in our evolution. After all, we were eating a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables that were loaded with enzymes anyway. So why reinvent the wheel? Why should our bodies have spent energy to make enzymes that it was getting from food? Well, we used to eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. Of course, on the standard American diet, also known as SAD, where a lot of fast junk food is consumed, mostly cooked food, and few, if any, salads or fresh fruits, well, then there just isn't much of a supply of enzymes, if any at all. Remember, cooking destroys enzymes. In our bodies, lack of enzymes reduces muscle and organ function. You feel tired and weak, and much weaker than you would feel if you had a sufficient supply of enzymes. Think of a series of turnstiles in a busy train station, say it's a big travel weekend, all right? Big travel weekend, lots and lots and lots of people trying to get through all these turnstiles. All right, but half the turnstiles are broken. The crowd stagnates. The whole system just gets sluggish. People just can't get through. Well, that's how it is with enzymes. When your body doesn't have enough enzymes, all the chemical reactions have to wait for the available enzymes. And if you don't have enough of them, well, then you just feel bad. So get your enzymes. Fresh fruits and vegetables. Sprouts. Seed sprouts. And of course, spirulina and chlorella. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful foods. The Buddha said, you see, I'm not just going to talk to you about the Bible. The Buddha said, quote, eating flesh extinguishes the seeds of great compassion. Let me repeat that. Eating flesh extinguishes the seeds of great compassion. Clearly, the animals are not to be eaten, according to the Buddha, because they are the seeds, the sparks that can ignite our compassion, that can cause our compassion to grow. I have often said that compassion is enlightenment. In future programs, I'll go beyond theory and offer some more recipes, gardening tips, and other solutions. Meanwhile, a quick search on vegan, spelled V-E-G-A-N, will open the door to a wealth of knowledge. You can send questions to me. I'm the vegan guy, doing the Vegan Gaia show here. Now you can send your questions, so you got your pencil ready? Get it ready, because I'm going to tell you right now how you can get in touch with me. Go ahead, go get it. Come on, go get your pen, go get your pencil, go get your paper. All right, I'll wait. Go ahead. Go get it. All right, are you ready? Are you ready? All right. VeganGaia@hotmail.com. That's VeganGaia@hotmail.com. One more time. VeganGaia@hotmail.com. I'll do my best to answer. I'm the vegan guy, and this is Vegan Gaia.
Take me from you. I didn't ask to be broken. I didn't ask you to stroke my hair or treat me like a worthless token. But my skin is thick and my mind is strong. I am built like my father was. I've done nothing wrong. So free. Just wanna feel what life should be. I just want enough space to turn around and face the truth. So free me. When are you gonna realize you're just wrong? You can't even think for yourself. Can't even make up your minds. So my mind's a jail. I hate the whole goddamn human race. What the hell do you want from me? Kill me if you just don't know. Or free me. I just wanna feel what life should be. Just want enough space to turn around, 'cause you're all fucked. And someday maybe you'll treat me like.